Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. I'm Art Burns here, fresh off a day off, and I'm feeling really good, and I hope that you're feeling good, too. I'm very excited to be here with you, and I got something really, you know, kind of really cool to talk about today, and I hope you find it cool, too. Before I get into that, though, just FYI, this Anger Transformed course is starting this Sunday, just letting y'all know. I don't know if a lot of people did not get to make it to the webinar, which is okay. Don't sweat it. But if you'd like a recording of the webinar, all you got to do is email me for it. And it was not my best work. I'll be honest with you there. I mentioned this the other day on Monday's video. I think that, you know, yeah, after doing it for so long and so frequently, I really was out of shape. And it showed, you know, but I mean, I think there was a lot of benefit, a lot of good value in there. So if you'd like to get a recording of it, I am happy to share it with you. And if you would like to join the program, it's really very simple to do that. I can certainly put a, I don't want to just throw a link out there, but if you're interested, send me an email or better yet, even book a call, right? You know, I love to talk to people, but even if you just want to send me an email, you know, I can certainly help to explain things about the course if you have any questions. But really, it's going to be, and one of the people who were at the webinar the other night, who has actually signed up for the course, this person was, you know, she asked me during the webinar if it's only going to be about anger. And no, it's not, right? I mean, I'm gearing this towards anger because, you know, it's like the dog whistle, right? I'm trying to get all those people out there who are struggling with anger. But the, you know, because I want to help you, right? Because I've been there and I know what it's like to struggle with anger and reactivity and all of that. And I want to help you to go from where you are now to where I am. Because I used to be where you are. And I'm telling you, I mean, nine ways to Sunday, I'm telling you, it's more comfortable being like this. It's more comfortable. It's more healthy. It's more, you know, sort of fulfilling in my life, you know, in our lives, right? With relationships, with, you know, everything, right? It's just an easier way to live, okay? And so again, it doesn't have to be about anger though, right? Because the same process applies to whatever emotion grips you and hijacks you, right? If you feel a chronic emotion of any kind, it is the exact same process as what I'm talking about with anger. It comes from the same place. It has the very similar impacts on our lives in terms of, you know, getting in the way of our work and our relationships and our happiness. But also, it's the same technique to learn how to, you know, command it and how to live your life on your terms, not on the terms of your triggering emotion. All right, that's really as simple as it is. So if you have been saying all these couple of weeks that I've been talking about this, you've been saying like, gosh, I wish it wasn't about anger. I don't feel anger. I feel, you know, shame, or I feel, you know, just, you know, whatever, right? Like, you know, it's worth having a conversation, because I do believe that this program will help you, you know, with whatever triggering emotion you're dealing with. That's what it is, right? Because that's what happens with the big emotions, right? They hijack us, right? They take us for a ride, right? We can't focus ourselves. We can't express ourselves. We can't, we lose awareness of ourselves and what's happening around us, right? This all comes from the reactive emotion, whether that emotion is anger or shame or guilt or jealousy or rage or any of those. It's the same principle, okay? It's the same concept of how the emotion works. And it's also the same principle of how to, you know, manage this emotion, or how to live, again, with your ability to be, you know, to be happy in spite, or to be well in spite of these triggering emotions, right? That's the name of the game here. And that's what I'm here to offer you some help with. All right. And yeah, I mean, again, it's really, you know, one of the things that I want to stress to you right now, but I want to explain to you right now, is that, you know, the essence of this, right, the ability to to change this, right? To gain the capacity to be able to make the changes that allow us to live in command of our emotions rather than at the behest of our emotions, right? I often like to talk about it as, you know, you're riding a horse backwards all your life, right? And so to turn around and ride the horse forward so that you can actually control what's happening and you can actually have control over your life day to day, moment by moment. The key for that is to change your relationship to the emotion that's causing you the difficulty, right? The emotion, whatever that emotion is for you, right? Whether it's anger, guilt, shame, jealousy, rage, you know, whatever. Right? Like any of them, right? Any emotion that you feel on a chronic level, meaning that you get into that emotion day after day after day, and it really impedes your ability to live your life, to be productive, to be happy, to be healthy, all of that, right? If there's anything like that in your life, right, then the key is to change your relationship to that thing. Right. And it doesn't mean cutting it out, right? Because that doesn't work, right? Whether we're talking about anger, but anger is very, very dangerous to try to stuff it down or try to ignore it. It's really dangerous, but it won't work on any emotions, right? Like you can't just, you know, put your grief or your shame or your guilt or your jealousy, can't put these things into a box and just tape it up and say, okay, I'm done with you, right? And you don't want to do that anyway, right? Because that's part of your life. That is part of the thing that makes life, you know, gives life some meaning to you, gives life some color and some flavor, right? And so if you're going to just get rid of it, well, then you're getting rid of you know, what, like the whole point of living in a certain way, right? And so we don't want to do that, right? That's not the idea, okay? And so the idea then instead is to gain a deeper awareness of what that emotion is, right? And then work to change your relationship to that emotion and really kind of learn to love the emotion, right? That's what it comes down to. Now, I know I'm always hesitant to just say that, right? Because it comes out, you know, it's much more effective if you learn this through the practices. You know, I wouldn't tell somebody that on the first day, maybe, you know, but really that's what it is, right? It's learning to love and appreciate these emotions that seem so difficult, because the point is they're there to help you. Those emotions are there to make your life fuller, safer, more healthy, more prosperous, more connected. That's what the emotions are. They are there to help you to live your life, right? They're kind of like guideposts on the way throughout your life. The emotions are the things that keep you in that place of safety and happiness, right? And so if you have an emotion that's simply just flaring up, right? That just means that we have to, it's almost like Thich Nhat Hanh says, right? Thich Nhat Hanh says, if you plant lettuce, right, and the lettuce doesn't grow, you don't blame the lettuce, right? You don't sit there and say the lettuce is the problem. What you do is you examine, okay, is it getting enough sunlight? Is it getting enough water? Is it getting enough minerals and nutrients and fertilizing, ingredients, right? That's what we do. And we work on that. We work on how we're supporting this lettuce so that the lettuce can grow properly, right? We don't just rip the lettuce out and say, okay, screw it. I'm never going to eat lettuce again. Let's plant spinach instead and see how that goes, right? I mean, if you did that, maybe some people do that, but they're not farmers, right? They're not gonna have a farm for very long, even a home garden. You know, it's not gonna work out that well if that's your approach to it, right? And so the idea then is like that's how we treat our emotions a lot of times, right? We say, no, this anger, I just gotta get rid of it. It's in my way. It's impeding my life. Right? But if we try to do that, well, really, what's going to ultimately happen, and I don't mean to laugh as I say this, but I'm just like laughing sort of as a, you know, just absurdity of it all, right? That as we try to do that, as we try to lock it away and put it in a box and stuff it under a bed somewhere so we don't have to deal with it, eventually it's going to come out. Eventually it's going to come out. And in all likelihood, it's going to come out, as they say, with a vengeance, right? It does not like being stuffed under a bed, right? And it is going to, not that it, I mean, it's not really coming out with a vengeance, right? Although maybe anger, that could for sure. But the idea, though, is that it comes out on its terms, not on your terms. And what that means, right, is that it's going to come out when you're in a meeting or when you're with your kids on vacation or in a grocery store, right, where it's the least power, or in a doctor's appointment or something like that, where you're going to break down and you just lose it. Right, depending on what that emotion is, right? Either you lose your temper and you become ragey and say things and do things that you don't want to say and do, and those things come back to you, right? There are consequences to all of our actions. Every action in the universe has an opposite reaction, right? And so that's what's happening with your emotions too, right? When you try to contain them, they're gonna bust out. They're going to, and again, like I was saying, like it's not the emotional busting out in of itself. It's what happens in our life when we do that, right? So if it busts out while you're in a job interview, guess what? That's not going to be a good look for you in the job interview, right? If it busts out when you're, when you're out on a date, that's not going to be a good look for your date, right? And the thing is that like, okay, so, and that's what I mean by the, you know, opposite reaction, right? So like, let's say you're in a job interview and all of a sudden you become overwhelmed with emotions and you just, you know, you screw the job interview up. Well, guess that the consequence is an obvious one, obviously, but the consequences there, you're not going to get the jobs, then you're not going to get the more money you want, you're not going to be able to take that vacation or meet that person or whatever it is that you're looking to do with this extra money that you're trying, you know, and it's going to, you know, create more of that emotion, right? And you just can't escape it, right? It's like trying to run from your shadow, right? So instead, the idea is to, again, befriend these emotions, right? To take them in, to say, come on in here. Let's have a cup of tea together and let's talk about why you're always doing this to me. You know, like I need to, and that's really what it is. It's getting to know them on a deeper, more accurate level, right? To get to know the emotions. That's the key. Right? Because the more we know something, the more we can work with that something, right? And the less we are likely to be, you know, to identify with the emotions and to be, you know, sort of weighed down by them, right? Because if we know them well enough, well, now we can know, okay, look, yep, there it is. There's that emotion. I knew it was going to come in this situation. I could tell because it always does. And there it is. And look, now that I see it coming and now that I know that it's there, it's not that scary to me. I'm able to now, you know, handle it in a different way. And that's the idea, right? Is that we get to know things, right? Like Thich Nhat Hanh says, that love is equivalent to understanding, right? And I thought I'd share this with you right now because, you know, because when we truly love someone, right? We love them for exactly what they are, right? We don't love them, oh, if only you could change this about yourself or change that. That's not really love, right? That's something else. I don't know what you call that. but love, right? And we all feel that, right? In the beginning of a love, right? Like when you first fell in love, that first person you fell in love with, right? They just, everything was perfect, right? There was nothing you ever wanted to change. Now, as you grew and you started to learn more about this person, you realize like, okay, that overwhelming love got tempered with some reality, right? And now it's a question of how compatible you really are, right? And that's okay. It's okay to find out that, you know what? I do love you for everything, but the way you brush your teeth, I just can't live with that. I'm sorry. You know, like there's nothing wrong with that, right? But again, it's when you know that you truly love someone or something, when you're really just in it for what it is and not, you know, just really just to understand it, right? And that's what Thich Nhat Hanh means, is that love and understanding are basically the same thing. And so if we if we extend that and project that onto our emotional intelligence, well, then to understand our intelligence is to love our, to understand our emotions is to love our emotions. And so let's talk about triggers, right? And this is a big deal, right? Especially with anger, right? But it's true with shame, with guilt, with jealousy, with all kinds of emotions. The same thing, again, the same sort of physics is going to apply up and down, right? That's how it works with this stuff, right? But a lot of times with anger specifically, right? And I'm going to speak from anger because that's the thing that was for me for all those years, right? Like I just was always, like anger was just always just right beneath the surface, ready to just spring out at the most inconvenient time, right? And so one of the things that used to come up a lot for me, and one of the things that I hear from a lot of other people who are struggling with their anger, is this idea that somehow the people that we encounter in our lives, right, that somehow they owe us some kind of level of respect, right? They don't, right? I mean, the bottom line is that nobody owes us anything. Right. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Right. Because when we work, like if you join this course that's jumping off on Sunday night. Right. You're going to learn about being compassionate and being kind to yourself and to others. Right. And, you know, a lot of times we feel like, well, I can't be kind to someone who disrespects me. Right. Like that's what I hear all the time. Like I can't do that, right? And that's where we got to ask ourselves, right? Like that's where, and this is again part of the emotional intelligence, right? Is ask ourselves, why is it that I feel the need for this respect, right? Like where does that come from? And it's not a question that you can just answer. I mean, you might have an answer for it, but that answer will probably change as you really go into the work, right? Because again, this is not a cognitive kind of practice, right? This is an embodied practice, right? And so when you start to really feel and start to really gain this intelligence of your emotions through that self-awareness, right? That's when you start to you start to be able to like pick apart and examine these things like disrespect, right? And one of the main components of compassion practices, right, is to learn that you know, when somebody disrespects us, right, and this is something I've said here 100 times, at least 100 times in the 500 episodes I've done, I probably more like 300 times that I've mentioned this, at least, right? But the fact of the matter is, and one of the things that we that is really helpful to learn in this process of you know, regulating and understanding and befriending our anger or whatever emotions that we're talking about, right? A big part of this is the understanding that when people do things that you perceive as a slight, right? When you perceive that somebody has disrespected you, right? When somebody cuts you off on a line or cuts in front of you on the road or says something that was, you know, demeaning in some way, right? There's a couple of things to understand that are going on with this. Okay, number one, right? Whatever somebody does, right? They are doing in the interest of their own well-being. And that's true all the time, ever, except the one exception to that rule is a parent-child relationship, right? Parents will do things that is actually, you know, against their own best interest, right? Against their well-being, right? Like we'll stay up all night to care for a crying child, right? I need my sleep. My well-being requires sleep, but I'm willing to sacrifice that because I'm caring for this other helpless child that I was responsible for bringing into this world, right? So that's the only time where that sort of relationship gets skewed a little bit, right? But outside of the parent-child relationship, okay, every single action, every single word, every single thought and emotion that a person can have or say or do is done, said, and experienced in the interest of their own well-being. And what that means is that when somebody says something that you perceive as disrespectful, right, it's important to understand that the motivation, even if they were trying to disrespect you, even if that was an intentional thing that they did, that the motivation behind that intention is pain and suffering, right? And if we can understand that, and if we can really practice the understanding of that, right, so that we understand it on such a deep level that it's like, it's part of our embodied intuition, right? That's where we have to get it to, so that it's an automatic emotional response, right? Not something we have to think about, right? Because the problem with that is that when that one person who always pisses you off, right, you're not going to think about it in that time, right? So that's why we have to work on it. We have to practice it. We have to develop a skill, which doesn't take long, by the way. You're talking about a few weeks, not more than that, okay? But that's the key. Now, the second thing that I was mentioning, though, that it's really, really helpful to understand, right? And very vital to understand, critical to understand, right? If you want to develop emotional intelligence, you want to be able to, you know, sort of operate within this construct of your life without being emotionally triggered and hijacked and all that stuff, one of the really important things and really valuable things to understand, and something else I've talked about here in the podcast, is that the way we perceive what other people do, say, think, emote, right? Whatever we're able to, you know, perceive from that, right, is coming from our own place, our own nervous system, right? And so, and remember I told you the story about the dog, right? If you have two people walking up to a corner where there's a dog sitting there waiting to cross the street, and he's sitting on a leash and he wags his tail a little bit, his little black labs, just as cute as it could be, right? Wags his tail slowly as you start walking up, right? Two people walking up. One person had a dog growing up, loves dogs, could never, you know, never met a dog he didn't like. And that person's going to feel joy and excitement upon seeing this dog and want to like run up and pet him and get him to lick his face and stuff like that, right? Whereas the other person, right, theoretically, hypothetically, you know, has a negative experience with a dog, right? When they were little, the only experience they had was getting chased and bitten by a dog. Well, when that person approaches this dog, they're going to hold back. They're going to feel tense and tentative and afraid. They're going to go maybe even into the fight or flight, you know, automatically, right? Like without their understanding of it at all, right? And so the same dog, right? Nothing's different about the dog. It didn't snarl at that person and wag its tail at this person. Same thing happening to the dog. Completely different reactions within two people, right? That's key, right? Because knowing that this thing that this person is saying that makes you feel disrespected, right? If he says that to me, I don't feel disrespected, right? And so the disrespect is not something that's coming from the speaker, but is much more within the listener, right? And so understanding that and working with that, that's how we get to the point of really kind of breaking through some of these, you know, tendencies and patterns that we have in our lives and really taking control over this and living life on our terms, right? It's those two things really, essentially, or I guess three things, right? It's changing the relationship to the emotion, understanding and remembering that everybody who says and does things are doing and saying things for their own well-being, right? It's not against us as much as it is for them, even if they're doing something to hurt us, right? They're doing that something to hurt us because they feel like it's going to help them. That takes a huge weight off and opens up a huge availability for forgiveness. And forgiveness is key for this, right? Because forgiveness, the respect, you know, like once you forgive someone, then disrespect is no longer an option, right? And so, and then finally, understanding that that feeling of respect is something that lives within your nervous system. It's not universal, right? It's not just a, you know, it's not like rain, right? Rain falls, we get wet, right? You know, it would be more like if it rained, you got wet and I didn't get wet, right? That's how it works on an emotional nervous system level. All right. So any questions about this, please, I'll put down in the link, as I always do, the link to in the description, rather, the link to book a call with me, completely free. Check it out. If you want to know what a coaching experience is like, this is what it's like. So check it out. I'll also put a link. No, I'm not going to put a link to join the program. Maybe I should. I guess I should. Yeah, I'll just put the link to join the program. It's just a simple form. You got to fill it out. There's a PayPal link on there. The price is $299 for 12 weeks. It comes out to like $24 a week or something like that. $24 a session. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be the best $300 you ever spent. So, okay, so I'll put that link in the description as well. And then finally, if you're interested in showing up to our group meditation tonight, you're more than welcome to show up for that too. Okay, I'll put that link in there as well. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I wish you well, and hopefully I see some of you tonight or this Sunday for week number one of our Emotions Transformed course. All right, everybody, take care. I wish you well. Bye-bye.